right. Welcome back to another episode of Just Kicking It Soccer Podcast. We are back again. Everything is going crazy this year. We have an email. Let's start it off with, we got three emails, man. Let's start it all off. First email come, shout out to our French connections, man. I've been looking at the analytics and I don't know where y'all are in France. Maybe we can get y'all all in one place and y'all can pay us to come on.
Comment allez-vous? No, definitely. Shout out to France, man. Love the people, the culture. We know the game is huge over there. So definitely appreciate the support, man. Yeah, hit the
email. Shout out to the French connection, man. We ain't talking about drugs either. We talking about the podcast. All right, this person comes from Larry Lovett. He says, love you all. Show, it is bright to see some brothers of a darker shade definitely kicking it. This Gareth Bale of the award is hilarious to me. The concept of it is Gareth Bale the winner of his own award this week.
Man, I think he definitely has to have it, man.
He's got his own award, right? Like, wow, man. He had to come back and get it, you know, get his own award.
Talk about writing your own ticket, man. It don't get much sweeter than that.
And another month off.
Yeah.
And he got a month off because how he got hurt? How did he get? Yo, Gareth Bale is he may be on the pantheon of cats. His award may need to be a real award, dog.
Yeah.
He just played in the UEFA Nations League like 2 weeks ago, and now he's a month out hurt?
I mean, absolutely incredible. I mean, look at the timing. This guy's a big, big golf aficionado, golf player. He spends the whole summer in Spain, lets the summer come to an end, get all his golf in Spain. Now shoot back, you know, to England, back to London.
And I'm hurt.
Deal with the cold. No dip in pay, you know, still getting that crazy, what is it, like $250,000 a week?
And he's on loan, so he gets to go back if he wants to.
Man, it's an incredible move, man. Shout out to his agent, man. I think, you know, he's giving Rich Paul a run for his money.
Man, dude, you know, if I'm a player in this country, I might want to give him a call. Like, hey, man, how'd you work that deal for him to have a month off? His same check, and he gets to go back to Spain after this year if he wants to, because he's on loan.
All jokes aside, I think it's a good move too. I think he fits. He's definitely comfortable. You know, that's where he developed his skill set and became big time. So it's like, you know, it's really home for him. You know, when you kind of look at it. So I mean, I hope it works out for him, man. I'm interested to see him back in the mix.
Yeah. So I mean, let's go on. Let's jump into a second email. This one comes from. Let's see, LCT, this LCT is his initials in it. And he or she says, with the upcoming season all world around wide, do you see any other leagues popping up to be well in the Premier League? For instance, Ajax in the Dutch League, and the LASK in Austrian League, or someone like Celtic in the Scottish League. Do you see anyone coming up in out of the rubble?
Wow, it's always tough, man. You know, the English, Spanish, and German league always kind of has an advantage just because of the talent level. I think the teams face, you know, week in and week out versus those other leagues that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous drop off in talent, and I think that impacts, you know, how those teams perform. You know, in some of these other tournaments, you know, the Champions Leagues and, you know, UEFA qualifiers and Europa qualifiers. I think that's a big impact on, you know, the kind of game you see and the quality of the game that you see. What do you think?
I think that, I mean, we said this before, and maybe we need to expand on it at some point, but basically the Champions League it has become the NCAA tournament where you get the right setup, you go, you win a game 1-0, then you can tie in the next game, and because you've got one on away goals, you in the next round, baby. You ain't got to do a lot to get there. If you can just kind of just, like, we're just going to pack it in. We're going to hope we can counter. Pop off one goal like Leon did with Juventus. Like, they just got that one goal, and they got one goal at Juventus. You got the one away goal, and it's 2-2, but you got the away goals.
I mean, it's definitely a strategy, and it is effective. I hate to see that. You know, I want to see personally the beautiful game, you know, tiki-tac, you know, go sometimes go backwards to go forwards. And I love, obviously, that fast-paced game of the Premier League.
Because wasn't Ajax doing – was Ajax was kind of – but when they went to the semifinals, they kind of came at cats. They wasn't we're going to sit back and pack in.
They're one of those exceptions because they're definitely, you know, that's a team that has a lot of talent on it. So you're absolutely right. They are a bit more attacking. But I'm saying overall, you know, outside of those teams from those other leagues, I think that's why you never really see a huge performance. You know,
Lask or somebody like that. Like, Lask is not going to come in and –
I mean, but do you really want to see that? You know, that
to be honest with you, it's like, do you really want to see Butler in the Final Four? Like, those years, the NCAA tournament had the lowest ratings.
I hate watching a game like that. You know what I mean? But it is a strategy. You know, so I do admit it works. You know, so
because that's what Liam was doing basically to Juventus. It felt like they was like, "Yo, we just finna pack this in. Yeah. We gonna put five on Ronaldo." And y'all figure it out. We don't just do this.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, but, you know, that's the same thing, like, you know, why basketball's in throw in the shot clock is because you don't want one team just, you know, like, playing this crazy defensive system the whole game. You know what I mean? Like,
or offensively, just we're just going to do four corners. And just,
you know, we just gonna pass the ball the whole game. You never get a shot at the basket. You can't beat
it.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah. All right, last question. This one comes from Terry Thompson. He's Thompson. I'm pronouncing it wrong. He says, coming up for this next season, what team do you see surprising out of the Big Four leagues within their conferences? For instance, I see Spurs making a jump in Premier League. I see Getafe jumping up in La Liga. I also see potentially PSG getting knocked down in their league. And I don't see Juventus maybe winning early, maybe someone like AC Milan or Inter Milan or Roma. What do you guys think?
Oh, I'll comment on two of those. Okay. In the Premier League, I disagree that Spurs is going to be that team. I will put my money on it right now. It's very early, but, I mean, if we're going to jump out there, I would say Everton. I'm highly impressed.
Hey, Everton is looking like.
I'm highly impressed. I like what I see the vision. What they're trying to do there, and they have the pieces. You know,
they got a brand new owner too, right?
I don't know what this. Honestly, I don't know what the situation.
I think they got an oil owner. I think I was listening, and they were saying on a podcast, they were saying they got an oil owner now or something like that. And that's how the cash was coming in.
I see them spending money. You know, I mean, and the right kind of pieces, like, you know, not too old, but getting there. You know, what I mean, about a few,
28, somebody 28 season. I mean, but they 35, like Thiago or something.
They got what is it, James Rodriguez, the Colombian playmaker. He pulling the strings, looking very dangerous anytime he touching the ball, and just clever. You know what I mean?
And they got Calvert too. Calvert's that's when they grew him up though.
Very surprised with him, but yeah, man, he's a big dude, man. You know what I mean? He's a handful. You know what I mean?
And he's like 6'3", ain't he? Or something crazy like that?
I would say bigger than that. Yeah, he's
dang.
A big dude, man. Strong, you know, young and strong as an ox. You can see it.
He reminds me what Jovic was supposed to be for Barcelona.
Okay.
Oh, no, for Madrid, because he like 6'6", like down there.
And then even the defensive midfielder, Decore.
Decore is like good too, yeah.
I see him, you know, just box to box, you know what I mean, bossing cats around. He's that strong African, you know what I mean, just athletic, you know, hybrid type player, man. And so I like the mix, you know, that they got all together. I think it's a real potent attack, so I would just say Everton. And then I kind of agree, PSG. I could see them taking a step back this year.
They haven't won a game yet this season. Keep that in mind. They've not won a game.
I can definitely see that.
And they've lost to like two teams in the lower side of the league too. So it's not like you lost to the you know, Monaco or something like that. You lost to two regulated teams that just got into regulation already.
Who was that looked good over there in France? Saint
Monaco. Monaco does too.
Okay, I haven't seen too much of them, but I got to check for them. But I saw St. Etienne, and I thought they looked pretty good, too. You
know? So, I mean, what, Neymar suspended for, like, what, 15 games, something crazy? Like,
where is he just at mentally? You know what I mean? Neymar is always a
I mean, if I'm Neymar, I might go and take this year off and take the L. Mbappe said he already leaving. Let's get on this Gareth Bale plan. He's showing us the way.
Man, he's got plenty of money. You know, I think that, man, I wonder about him mentally, man, and the people around him, you know, guiding him. So, yeah, that'd be interesting.
So maybe, because he's in Paris, too, so he's kicking. It's not like he's in, like, Lyon or somewhere. It's a little bit lower key. Like, he can't. You know, every club is popping in Paris, you know.
He's a
like,
rock star, you know, everywhere he goes, you know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, over there.
It's like Orlando Pace when he told him, he's like, man, St. Louis is the best city for me to go to out the draft.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, he said, if I would have went to Miami or something, I might have been out of the league in 4 years, you know, just because it's too much going on, you know.
It matters.
He said, I wouldn't have been a Hall of Famer if it wasn't for me. Wasn't being low key. He said it was enough for me to kick it, but enough for me not to do nothing and get into nothing either.
Okay. Yeah. And that's
so what about the other leagues though? What about the other leagues? What do you think about anybody jumping up in, like, I mean, it's really a Barcelona Madrid show, right? I mean, Atletico maybe. I mean, but are they a surprise at this point? Or
no, for me it's the usual suspects there. That's why I didn't even mention it. I feel like it's the usual suspects. Germany's feeling the same way.
I mean, Germany, but I mean, Bayern just got popped today by Hoffenheim.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm happy to see that scoreline. I caught the scoreline. I didn't catch the game, but I still think overall, when it's all said and done, it's going to be the same suspects. And then the Dutch league, I haven't seen enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really Ajax versus it's just Ajax, and then whoever else is kind of like fill me in when they win. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I was surprised Dortmund lost yesterday too to a team that was almost relegated last year.
Yeah, and they still holding on to that prize, the Sancho prize. But yeah,
we'll talk about that in a minute, you know what I'm saying? We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
sure. So, my topics, man, off the top, man. Let's go into Luis Suarez, man. Atletico. So we was kind of talking about that a little bit already with Atletico's come up. And Messi being upset about it, you know.
I think Luis was upset about it as well, man. The article that I read, the reporter said that, you know, he was boo-hooing in the back of the Range Rover leaving the Range Rover. Man, I said, wow, you know, these guys.
Must be nice to be boo-hooing in the back of the
Range Rover, you know? Yeah.
I mean, terrible, at this point,
you know, they were vacationing together. I think their wives were friends.
Are cool.
You know what I mean? Their kids.
I mean, you got to think, they sent off all his homies. Like, who? He's basically LeBron James with a whole bunch of dudes he don't like that much. Like the last few years, LeBron and Cleveland.
Y'all, that's a really good analogy. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because you got to think, Ronaldo was in PSG. That was his boy. You know, now Suarez gone. I mean, you got Fatita, who's 17. You can't hang out with him. He can't even go to the club. He can't even. What are you going to do?
Like, yeah, man.
You got Griezmann, who daddy be there in the mix all the time. His dad picking him up in the Range. Because his daddy all up in his mix.
No, you're right. Griezmann is definitely, you know, got his own kind of little attitude and crew as well.
He's the typical millennial player because he's, what, 25 maybe?
Yeah,
my daddy raised me from 12 to be this striker. He's my agent. He's my dad. He's my trainer.
He was big time in France and Italy, you know, before. So, you know, like, yeah, the lights are not too bright for Griezmann. He comes with his own kind of baggage and entourage. So, yeah, it's a real interesting mixture, man.
And he lost Vidal. Vidal's gone. They got Coutinho back from Bayern. I mean, he's
another
alone there.
Yeah.
And he's back. I mean, they'll be good. I just think Messi ain't going to have no fun. It's just going to be like, I'm here, man.
Feels more like a requirement than, you know, the enjoyment. And that's sad to see, you know, at this stage and age of his career. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, so Suarez is there. I mean, Atletico, I don't understand that Suarez signed for them because they got some young cats on their team that they need to, like, just go. Like, I don't understand, like while Felix, like, that dude is he's on, like, 19.
Yeah.
Like, he's the next level ready, and you're going to put him with Suarez, and you still already got Costa there. Like, you kind of.
Yeah, I don't really understand the direction. I mean, they're a huge club with a huge farm system. They got, like you said, they got a lot of talent. I don't know why you don't just wind up all the toys and roll them out there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And bro, what you got? You got to the round of eight of the Champions League with what you had previously.
I think it's just important for them to, you know, continue to win, keep the merch sales high, keep the fan.
Is that what it is? You think it's the merch, like everybody forget their Suarez jersey now?
I mean, I think just the impression of the club is important. You don't never want it to view it just like as a it's too big a club to be in a rebuilding stage.
Gotcha. I mean, they got probably arguably one of the best keepers in all of soccer, period.
And I mean, and you're absolutely right. They got the pieces where it should just be, yes, we're in a rebuilding stage, but we have some excellent talent. That's just really the one. You know, I mean, and I think everybody sees that, but it's still like, no, we're, you know, Barcelona. Like, we don't rebuild, you know, we reload.
Yeah. All right, man, let's go and jump in this Champions League, man. Let's go to this handball thing. Before we jump into the meat of it, jumping into Sancho not coming to Man U, it looks like it's looking real desperate right now.
But, yeah, man. Bail out City, man. Handing out bail.
But
Bill Bosman was out.
Now, I will say this. Our handball, I feel, was a legit handball, though. Because he looked like he was actually swatting the ball to actually stop it from, like, the momentum.
It was an incredible lapse in judgment by that.
Yeah, like,
you know,
and he didn't even really argue. He was more shocked than, like, they really called it in the game, I think. Like, he was like, oh, snap, y'all really gonna do it?
And I looked at his reaction more like, I can't believe they caught me. Like, yeah, like, I absolutely did it, and they caught me. Like, damn. Why did I do that? You know, I know they got me. You know,
but every other handball I've seen these last few games, except for that one, have been ridiculously not at all. Like,
well, you know, I mean, I think that's where you start slicing and dicing this thing and really having to take a deep dive. Because, like, I think you said something here that was important right out of the gate. Unnatural hand movement. He moved in a swatting motion towards the ball. So, and that's always been the thing, you know, ever since, like, I started playing the game.
That's what I always thought it was. It was like, if you're, like...
I always knew what the letter of the law was, but it was always this asterisk, as long as, you know, it's not an unnatural hand movement. And, I mean, you look at, like, Diego Maradona and, like, that famous, the hand, the God goal that he's so famous for. You know, that was a handball. He scored with his hand, you know, faked it out, but, like, of course, this is, like, what, 76, 74?
So,
you know, you got one grainy replay. That was it. You know what I mean?
That ain't even a replay. They can't replay it. It's the call on the field.
And that game was, like, in Argentina or somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like.
What ref going to not call it? You going to get out?
He wouldn't have made it out of there alive. No way, no how.
You can't get mad. That man welfare and his family was up for grabs.
Oh, if he tries to take that goal away, he's rolling the dice with his life getting out of there. That's a fact.
Not even his life, his family.
It'll go that deep. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, you know, the unnatural hand movement, I think that's another layer. Because now it's so much interpretation.
Because now what if I spin and I'm trying to block and it hits my hand on my back, you know, is that a handball now? Like,
you know, every game, every sport, you know, changes with every generation, just on how things are done. And I just remember being taught, you know, in peewee soccer and high school soccer, like when you're defending, you know, you want your hands at your side, ideally almost like behind your back, like making it obvious that you're trying to control your hands, keep them by your side as much as possible. But I mean, you know, depending on – also, another factor and layer to unpeel on this onion is people used to talk about the distance of a handball. You know, meaning if you're closer to me, I have less time to react versus how I'm reacting from the ball coming from a longer distance. So, you know, now you got two things to interpret when trying to determine is this a handball or not. You know, did you even have enough time? Is your body in an unnatural – shape, you know, kind of like in basketball, you know, when a guy would get hit with a really hard offensive foul, you know, they would say, you know, like throwing a punch, that's not a basketball move, you know. So now, like when you're playing soccer and the ball is coming at you in a defensive position, are you in a soccer playing move, or is your hand up? Are you you know, swiping down, that's not a soccer, natural soccer movement, is it? But whose interpretation is that, you know? So it's complicated, man. What do you think?
So, I mean, I think it's got to be intent, you know, but maybe it's a thing of they're saying it's hard to judge intent. So we just going to go across the board and is what it is. Just so we don't even have to even discuss intent, because refs are going to the VAR and they're seeing if it's a handball period and turning right back around. They're not even looking for intent. They're just seeing, oh, is it a handball now? Then we turn like it. By the time you sitting there talking about it, thinking about it through a text message, you like, it's already been decided. By the time you send it, like, man, is that a handball, you think? It's already decided.
Did you see that that Crystal Palace game? The defender, it was within literally a 10-minute gap. The first time the ball struck his hand. I felt like his hand was in a soccer playing position and the ball hit him. And it was so fast. There was not enough time for him to get out of the way or even move, rotate his hips or anything. I mean, it was a bang-bang sort of situation. And the ref went over, like you said, to VAR. He looked at that. He saw it clearly touched him, but I think your intention, you know, comes into play. He ruled on intention there, and they let that ride. But literally within 10 minutes, a similar scenario happened to the same defender, unfortunately. It was like, you know, lightning striking twice. You know,
yeah, it's like, I can't help you out twice.
And the soccer gods came down hard on them that time. And, I mean, they went, you know, and it was incredible, man.
Yeah, it was something interesting you said before we got on, man. You think that players are going to start using this as an actual tactic?
I think you have to. I mean, you know, there is no strategy that's off-limit within the rules of the game, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't, you know, start next season and clearly redefine this handball, you know, rule, I think you will see a strategy where a guy's, you know, in a part of the box, in an 18-yard box at an angle where he has absolutely no chance of scoring whatsoever, is really not a threat, you know, to attack you. But what he'll do is, you know, strategically strike the ball at that defender's arms while that defender's in the box. I mean, if it's the letter of the law without this intent, you know, without some discretion being involved, I mean, I think that's going to be a new strategy on how you score goals. I think you almost have to.
Do you think that their UEFA is doing this to increase the amount of goals with the penalty shots? Like, it was like, man, we kind of want this offense to get some higher scoring games. You know, it's a little bit more exciting, these penalties, because the penalties have been ridiculous, like, lately. We talked about this before, but not a handball. We were talking about just penalties, an actual penalty. Now you're adding a handball to the already just general pulling somebody down on a penalty.
Yeah.
You're going to have games 5-4.
Yeah, you really will, man. It's changing the game. And I've been listening to, you know, Sky Sports, to some ex-players, you know, some of these older guys, and they're just saying, man, it's hard to watch this game. It's not the game that they grew up on. It's not the game that they played. And I think really what you have is the old world and the new world meeting, you know, this VAR, the technology, the original, you know, letters of the law, the original rules weren't accounting for VAR. It was given a lot of discretion and a lot of gray area, you know, for the referee to really rule and to lean on his assistants more. You don't see assistants jumping out there and waving their flag very much, pointing out things to the referee. They're almost letting VAR do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, with offsides. Like they told them that I was listening to a podcast. They said they told them, don't put the flag for offside. Let it go, and then we'll figure it out on the back end.
If it's close, right, don't interrupt the play. So even that's something different. But I remember, like, growing up, too, just – you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, seeing the linesman, seeing a foul off the ball that the referee didn't see and waving his flag, getting the referee's attention, the referee would blow the whistle, and then he'd go talk to the linesman. The linesman say, oh, I saw D. Fry doing, you know, X, Y, and Z away from the ball. And you know what I mean? He would rule accordingly for that. So it's just a different game now, man, and I think everybody's adapting in real time.
Is that going to be a FIFA rule, you think, or is that just because it's going to be, is that just UEFA?
I think no. I think FIFA has to come down, because, you know, even for like your World Cup, this is going to be a huge issue if a World Cup game or a World Cup.
Imagine what's going to happen in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, talk about bad publicity. So I think you have to have this figured out and nailed down very clear on what the rule is.
Yeah, it's getting it's just, oh man, I really I'm not the biggest Spurs guy, but I feel bad for them today, man. I mean, the other day, was that today?
Yes, it was today.
Today, yeah, the way that went down, I was like, wow. Y'all, I mean.
And I saw Mourinho, you know, his post game.
Hey, that dude went back, and he went to the back, like 10 minutes left. It was like 10 minutes left of the game still. He was like, I'm out, man. I'm out, dude.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. I thought he was kind of clever. He said, they started asking him, you know, well, what do you think about the call at the end of the game there? He says, if I want to give away my money, I give my money to charity. So he's like, I don't say anything here so the league, you know, won't find
me. You know what I mean? So what's the homeboy from the Seattle Seahawks? I'm only here, Marshawn Lynch. Oh. I'm only here because they making me.
Yeah.
I'm only here because I don't want to get fined. Like,
oh man, yeah, that was classic.
Yeah, it was like, so I mean, interesting how this season's gonna go with it, man. And I need to look and see if the other leagues are having these issues with handballs or just been more of a Premier League thing. I've been seeing a lot more penalty shots though, like looking in the box score for games. I just don't know what these PKs are coming from. But I'm like, man, every game has like three PKs now, two on one team, one on the other.
It does, man. The game just has like a different rhythm, a different cadence to it. Even like, you know, I mean, just from the fan perspective, not the necessarily the game as you see it on the field. But just like when a goal is scored, you almost don't want to react and get too hyped because it needs to be reviewed. You don't know. They're going to look at the reverse angle. I mean, are we judging – you know, by a guy's shoulder, by eyelash.
Is he offside by a shoulder, or like, you know, is it got his foot over the line?
Shadow? Is that actually him? Is it a shadow? What is it? You know, like.
Was it, I mean, was somebody else doing, I mean, like, come on, it's like.
Man.
I literally, in the game, yes, the Man U game, we can switch in the Man U issues and stuff. I was at Rashford had scored on that first one. I literally went to the bathroom like, all right, that's what's up. I literally come like it was. I was like, we have two. I literally went to the bathroom, dog. And I was like, hold on, that was offsides.
Man, what an interesting game there, man.
Man.
You know, I figured you were up, so that's why I went ahead and hit you.
Yeah, you know, I got up at 6:30. I was up early, baby. We was up early.
I said, man, this is incredible, man.
I mean, we're in a bad place right now in general. Our confidence is low. We just need to pick up that win. I'm cool with the 3 points. We played him again on Wednesday in the FA Cup. And then we got Spurs Sunday. So that's – I mean, we taking it a day at a time, man, right now. We taking it a day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I see the turmoil, you know, and I mean, I think it is, you know, rendering this ugly head on the field. I don't really like the quality of the play that I'm seeing out of your team, man. And
I agree.
Just so lucky. That's why I hit you. The man of the match was the post.
Oh, yeah, they had with five post hits. Yeah. but the funny thing is that those post hits, though, like half of those, De Gea was on them, though. Like, if it would have been – like he would, like if it had been more inside, he would have been on like half of them. Man, and he actually had a good game. They had actually an excellent game.
Yeah, and I mean, and he has that that kind of quality. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and Henderson coming through put that fire on him, and especially Henderson having that clean sheet in the last game too. He was like, you know what?
yeah, trying
and they
to
gave him a contract too, so it ain't like he just here. They was like, no, you're here for 5 years. Like, you're here for five?
Yeah.
I'm only 28. Like, the head's only 28, 29. Like, hold on.
He's going to be there a long time. He, you know, definitely can. Should be.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Weaker, man. And then, but that penalty kick, man, and what was that, like the 94th minute or something?
Yeah, but I mean, it was just bad, man. Like, at this point, people are picking on that center back side with Lindelof, and it's getting ridiculous now, where they're literally going to his side. And both of those penalties, if you saw what Pogba pulled him down, well, he didn't pull, that was he flopped. Canelli flopped on that one. Like, he literally held him and then slid down.
Yeah, he gave you some theatrics with it. Definitely.
And then even on Bruno, those are people coming back to help out his side, to help out Lindelof.
Right.
They were coming back to help him out and had the foul.
Oh, I see at least – five changes that you guys need to.
And Wan-Bissaka coming back from injuries, because Wan-Bissaka on that side normally helps him out so much and is so much of the area. It made Lindelof look a lot better, but with Bissaka coming back from injury, it's exposing Lindelof even more. It's like, hold on. So was Bissaka was holding up the whole half of the field?
I think you got that absolutely right. I think you got that. That's how I'm seeing it too.
Like, so, you really realize how much Bissaka was doing last year. Like, hold on. He was covering half of that field.
Yeah. I mean, because he's a pure hell of an athlete, man. Yeah. Hell of a defender and offensive threat. So, yeah, he's doing a lot of work. And like you said, man, you nailed it, man. The eye test is absolutely spot on for him. Absolutely.
And even though I know Harry Maguire is the overpaid player, but Lindelof, he's over there protecting his side too.
Man.
And you know he's like to do too much anyway.
Always.
You know what I'm saying? He's always Mr. Do Too Much. So you already like, he already want to do it. And then you get an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, it's a bad combination.
Look, love him to death, but he was in on that header for us, the one that got us the handball. What Mr. Do Every, Mr.
Man, I'm just like, wow.
He's the only center back that's going to be in the box. Oh, he's in there like he a midfielder. Like I'm in there.
Is your manager safe? Does your manager make it past Christmas? I think the clock is ticking.
I don't think we'll be that bad though, man. Like, I don't think we'll be that bad.
Not that bad?
No. Because now if we go into Champions League and we're no wins, two ties and a loss. We're middle around 500. I could see them, if they do fire him, then they're going to bring on Pochettino, I'm thinking, or what's homeboy RB Leipzig. That's what the cats within the community has been saying. Like, those are the two people. But my thing is that we can't keep having this revolving door of managers. Because what we do, what our thing has been doing, we get a new manager, then we get all the dope players for you, and then it's like, okay, that's all we're trying to do for you. Well, you know,
I mean, that kind of leads me into one of the other topics was Patrice Evra. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that that article, but you know, he's a champion with you guys.
Yeah, no, I saw the video. I saw his video. Yeah, I saw his video.
Yeah, and I think he absolutely nailed it, man. It's a lot of prestige and, you know, the special fairy dust of Manchester United that's just no longer there.
I agree.
You know, during like the Sir Alex Ferguson days and, you know, a lot of those teams that you guys had. I think that's all over, man. And I don't think that the current manager, I don't think he has enough of the it factor to really push you guys in the right direction. And then even bigger than that, even if he does work out, the front office is making all kind of mistakes, man. Like,
this is the thing, man. The Glazers are focused on Tom Brady right now.
Okay.
No, I'm dead ass. I mean, they're like, we're going to win a Super Bowl. We need the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go like 7-9. Like, I need them to start losing early so they can like focus on some other stuff. Wow. And like, just give up on this season.
Wow, talk about big picture and how things are interconnected. So
yeah, I mean, think
Tom
about
Brady
it.
And the Buccaneers.
Yeah, are the reason why
we're back. Manchester United. That's
No, really think about it though. Think about it. If you own two teams and you're an American in general, we love soccer, but I'm the average American.
Okay.
That, and Tampa Bay has a chance to win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Man, this is definitely the long way to grandma's house. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
No, it's not. It makes perfect sense.
It definitely is.
And then you're just like, man, y'all do whatever. This y'all budget. Y'all do whatever. You know, let us know what's happening over there. I'm having dinner with Tom Brady at 5.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the time goes by so fast. You're really looking at a 10-year spill now of you guys having a lot of errors and really almost repeating yourself. You give each manager what? 3.5 years, and I mean, you're on the fourth manager, so
third.
Yeah, okay, third manager. You know what I mean, but that's a.
But we had Sir Alex Ferguson for like 50, man. So I mean, you know, it averages out.
It's just tough, man, and I
but
think
the thing like, is, people don't understand about Sir Alex is he was not a coach at all. He had great coaches below him. He knew how to manage the team, but he wasn't a good coach. He wouldn't come out there and be like, yo, we need to be doing this, this, and this. He was a great mascot, man. No disrespect to Sir Alex with that. When I'm saying mascot, I'm not disrespecting him at all in saying that. I'm saying that he wasn't a coach that's going to give you your fundamentals of what to do tactically. He just knew, like, I need to run a 4-3-2-2-1, and then this is what I'm doing, and then –
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, but I would say he was more of what we call a man manager.
Yes.
He knew how to push your buttons to get the best out of you.
Yes.
Those buttons might be different to motivate me, but he knew how to do that for each guy down the line. And like you said, as a collective, but you're absolutely right. He had coaches that were putting things together tactically, offensively and defensively. So yeah, I totally agree with that assessment.
And that's what he needs to do more. Ole needs to do. And on top of it, Lindelof, if we just put Bailly in over Lindelof, because I don't know if you know about the drama going on. You know, Bruno Fernandes don't fuck with Lindelof at all.
Oh no, I wouldn't hit.
Oh no, he's been in on him multiple. If you go look at some games, he's went in on him like, yo, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
He's calling him out.
So like, that is. If we just put him on the bench in general, I think the team in general will be lifted just from one player going to the bench.
I mean, tell me why has Manchester United not splashed cash? I mean, it's not like you lack of resources. What's the problem? I mean, Tom Brady is stopping them from pulling the trigger on a
I think there's not the Glazers aren't looking. They're looking at it. I think they're looking at it kind of how Arsenal was a year or so ago and somewhat how they're looking at it now. We're not going to be top two. Why spend the dough right now? Let Man City and Liverpool fall off a little bit. I'm just trying to think business wise, not like for a fan, what they are probably thinking. Like, no matter how much cash we spend, we're never going to get up to one or two in the league.
The best we can get
is three or four at this point.
Interesting. That's interesting. I think that's. Wow, that's big. I don't know what kind of life that is as a fan, but
no. But I'm just thinking like business wise. You know what I'm saying? Like they're like okay, you know what? A couple of these players, they 28, 29. They'll be, you know, we'll build up what we have here now, and then splash here and there. But then it doesn't make sense because that's why you go get a Sancho, make sure you get him because he's only 20 years old. You play behind that and you play up, make sure you have three or four. We're not a three or a four right now.
Yeah. Well, that's big, man. I'm glad that you're back, you know, reality. You're back on the same planet again. That's good. This is progress, man. This is progress.
We're not 3-4-4 right now. But at the same time, we're still dangerous enough that you're going to have to respect us on the pitch.
Okay. You have some weapons. I mean, I don't take that away from you.
Weapons. Rashford's coming along. Rashford scored 3 goals in 2 games. I mean, he's coming back. You don't want that.
Yeah, but, you know, the reason why I'm so taken aback is because the Manchester United I grew up on, they were always winning, always on top. You know, it's like the Bulls with Jordan. Yeah. Like, you know, not making it to the finals. That's got it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even part of the program. So for you to say, hey, you know, this early on, we know 3 or 4 finish for us is absolutely excellent.
I mean, that's y'all ceiling too, though. Y'all ceiling is 3 or 4 as well.
A completely different phase of our rebuild.
Let's talk about Chelsea here because I think the feds have to be coming soon at some point. Where are the feds at? This is getting ridiculous on how much money y'all spending. Where's the fair play? Where's the fair play police at? Where are they at? Wow. Are they watching this like we are? And I know I'm just a fan, so I know there's somebody that digs these books.
I hate to speak on this, but I mean, when you said you wanted to talk about this as one of the topic, I thought my eyes lit up automatically. I was like, this is fair. And I have been thinking about this and not truly knowing the answer. what we do know about the FIFA fair play rules when we've seen them is it is a lot like the IRS, where they audit you after the fact, right? Everything is after the fact, right? So we won't know about the case until probably a season and a half from now. That's when we'll catch the charge.
Or you can maybe throw some people out on loans to try to cover it up, you know, like
or they just shut us down, you know, all of a sudden, you know, ain't no more movement whatsoever. So it's incredible. And you know, I mean, I'm happy that my club is spending money, rebuilding, addressing issues as we see them. I mean, like the whole goalkeeping situation. we see that's an obvious problem, even though we have the world's most expensive goalkeeper.
So is he going to be? Is he going to be next week's Gail Bear award winner in a couple of weeks?
I heard that he's going to stay and fight for his position at Chelsea. I think that might be a mistake. I think he's 25, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got an opportunity to go somewhere else and still thrive.
I think he needs to go somewhere else, make sure he is the
Who's
going to
pick him up, though?
It's hard to afford his wages. He's on some crazy money.
That's what I'm saying. But who's going to pick that up is what I'm saying. That needs a keeper on top of that.
In this market, in this time, I don't think there's really a move for him.
Because every team I know that has money has keepers, like good keepers.
Right. Exactly. And so, he's going to want to go somewhere where he's going to play. So it has to be a high-profile team. There's not really a good fit. So I think that's why he says he's going to stay and fight for his spot.
So is Mendy coming right in to start?
He didn't start this weekend. They started the Brazilian.
And he's like, and that's bad. He's like 39, 40 up in this
piece. Yeah, he's definitely
how old is he?
Willie.
What's the other dude that's super old that's the keeper for Juventus? That he been playing since we was like 15.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Gino. Is it Gino?
I can see him. I his name's escaping.
The dude with the dark, slick hair. He's your stereotypical looking Italian cat.
Yes.
He's won a World Cup. He's got almost everything. He's got all the gold.
And his name is right on the tip of my tongue. I know exactly.
Yeah, but he was just keeping in backup for, was it Ter Stegen?
Yeah, I mean, goalkeepers will last for a long time, man. definitely. And
But Kepa, it's a damn shame when you're getting replaced by a dude that's literally didn't even know he was going to start in the morning. He probably was like, man, I'm just trying to get my check. I thought I was going to be sitting up where you sitting.
Exactly. I mean, he's really there just for the practice squad, go be a gopher and chase balls and I mean, stuff like that. Get some extra shots in for some of their offensive players. But, like I said, man, that just shows you a glaring difference in the front office. The Russian billionaire, he sees the problem and he immediately loosens up the purse strings to go get.
Why can't y'all get nobody on defense, though? Y'all defense worse than our defense.
Ah, man, that's surprising. I think
y'all got more firepower up front, but y'all defense is worse than ours.
I'm giving Thiago Silva the benefit of the doubt. That was his debut.
Yeah.
A new league, but he's won everything there is to win. So I like him being part of this team, and we got some good young pieces of the puzzle. That'll work. That'll work itself out. That's just going to take some time and growing together, learning that system, but that's going to work. And I love the midfield too, man.
Your midfield is stupid.
Midfield's looking real good and a youth movement. You know what I mean? Harvitz is 21.
Yeah.
Mason Mount is 21.
Conte's the oldest on the damn near on the whole.
Yeah, he's the oldest.
And he's like 27, right? Like,
yeah. But I don't like some of the formations they play, like trying to play Abraham with Werner on the wing. I don't like that. I'd rather Werner play up front. I think he's a
just let him be the lone strike up front.
Yeah, I like him up front better than on a wing. But they got a lot of good pieces, man. They're gonna be.
What do you do with Pulisic when he comes back? Does Abraham go to the bench?
Abraham goes to the bench. And then I think that Werner plays up front, and I think that's your creative mid. That's your creative attack.
It's pulling. I don't know if you've seen how the U.S. is trying to on the Lolo. You see that they're going. They all the Chelsea games on regular NBC now.
I have been catching that.
Hold on. Chelsea versus West Brom ain't supposed to be on the regular NBC network.
Oh yeah,
y'all ain't slick. Like,
oh man, no. Definitely, can you spot on the money?
Yeah, like hold on, y'all ain't slick. This not even it's not a marquee game.
That's no accident.
And I get it. I ain't mad at it. I get it. You want to promote the U.S. players team to the U.S. for they can get on board and push through it and want to maybe see him other games.
It's the absolute right thing to do.
Yeah, that's how you market correctly. I ain't mad at it. I just want them to know I saw it.
We see you.
So how do you feel about this comeback against West Brom, man? Like, how'd you feel?
It's good, man, because honestly, like, I was losing it. They were down 3-0. I was ready to check out.
Jermaine Jackson was out there getting with y'all, though. He was.
oh boy, yeah. That's funny. No, man, but it showed a lot of fight to come back and at least split the points, man. So I'm happy to
Because y'all was coming from zero to one. That's better than.
I thought it was game over. I was like, oh my God, this is looking terrible, you know?
Yeah, yeah, man. So let's go more into Premier League, man. Man City, man, Vardy today, man. God damn.
I didn't get to see that one. How did that one play out?
Hat-trick for Vardy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
That's what I'm saying, Vardy, dog.
Yeah.
5-2.
No, I told you he was clinical. I told you.
Yeah. Yeah, man, and man, I gotta give some of these white supremacist white guys more credit than what they look, because Kane does some great fucking crosses, dog. Mm. I wonder how Bale and him might be something nasty, dog, because his crosses are on point. It's just that he ain't got nobody to get them for, because Son got taken out because he was hurt in that game.
Okay.
In the halftime, Son be on it. He'll be, you know, he right there. He's your Robin, baby.
Yeah.
He right there. He's ready to do it, or he gonna help you out, you know, on something. It was guys that wasn't there, like seemed like they were lost. He's giving out dope crosses over the top, and I'm like, okay, all right, this Gareth Bale thing may be a problem if the way Gareth Bale plays, hawking around the ball like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, this league is up for grabs, and it's an early season. I mean,
we're
but
so
Vardy coming jumping out with three goals off the top is like, come on, man, like we that's how we gonna play.
We're so early, man, and I try not to react week to week, but
it's hard not to, man. It's hard not to. When you lose a Crystal Palace 3-1 the first game, man, you kind of be like wanting to throw the whole bathwater out.
Man, when I'm seeing some of these goals against West Brom, I'm losing it. It's like four letter word. This is incredible. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make this up. I was on Twitter. I don't know if you caught my tweet, but I was
saying, no, I saw you.
Maybe it's time for Lampard to get out of here.
Man, I got to invite you to this group, man. It's a Discog. You have a Discog, right?
Yeah.
Like so it's like all UEFA dudes in it. And it was like, it's Frank. Who gets fired first, Frank or Ole? Everybody, it was a poll. Everybody was like, both. Like, they was like both at the same time.
And I try to catch myself, man, because I'm like,
honestly,
man.
I just see y'all firing Frank though on the low. If y'all go fifth and go to Europa with this squad,
yeah,
I said both of them could be fired. And look, if it's Liverpool, Man City, Everton, and Arsenal in that top four, and we both ain't in there,
if the table looked like that at Christmas, I think you're right. We both could be looking at new coaches, man.
Definitely. We both at the store on the bargain rate. Like, who's available? Who wants to come?
And you know, I like to see what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to bring a former player. You know, both former players with the club, and you know, developing some young talent and all of that. But hey, man, you got to win now. It's a win now, baby.
Yeah, I mean, and you got Liverpool, Man City just trying to push forward. I mean, it's Leicester City win over, man. I don't know. Man City may be vulnerable, man.
I think they could be, too, right now. I think, you know, David Silva, he was a big piece of that.
Yeah, and not just playing-wise, just as the cohesive – he was the guy, the glue of that squad.
Oh,
like, people were – they were crying and stuff, like, when he left, you know, like –
Oh yeah, he was a big deal, time, man. He was one of those glue guys, foundation guys, and to see him move on, and I mean, it has to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But it does change things, and I can definitely see things dropping a level because of that alone. You know,
I mean, I think today Rodri was hurt, Cancelo was hurt. Like they had like 9 players hurt, like, and they don't know when they're coming back, type thing. Like,
wow.
And I'm like, man, it could be vulnerable right now. So maybe it is. Maybe y'all can go to 2. I mean, and Liverpool's kind of, I guess they kind of vulnerable early, but I just can't doubt that, man. It's just that Sané showed the other game, man. It's just one week is Salah, then it's Sané, then Firmino, then Arnold comes out and from the defense and scores 2. It's like then Henderson, like
they got a lot of weapons, man, and they just be firing, you know, and. I see them retooling as well. They still splashing some money low key.
Cause they just got old boy from what you call it too.
Another defender in, another attacker in, two more attackers in. So they're still. I think they're doing the right thing right now to continue to you know, no and nights
Klopp's
off.
A great manager. Klopp's a great manager.
Oh man, great manager. And kind of like in the mode of like a Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
Man management, pushing the buttons on different guys, and I mean, making them all cohesive, man. So yes.
Yeah, it's gonna, man. And then you're looking at teams like a Leeds that's like coming out here, man, and like with no fear, dog, no fear. Hey.
One other thing, man, shifting gears on you that I did want to talk about is I don't know if you caught any of that Crystal Palace game.
The Crystal Palace Everton game?
Yeah, I think it was Crystal Palace Everton.
Yeah, I watched it.
So, I mean, you saw how many brothers was on the pitch at one time?
No, I was texting Double D, shout out to Double D that's been on the show. I'm like, man, CP looks like an African squad.
It really did, man. I think I saw non-people of African descent. It was a three, you know, of Caucasian descent of some form or fashion. And I said, this is incredible. You don't see this that often. And, I mean, you think of Crystal Palace, that's a London-based team.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't no team in the middle of
nowhere where they just picking up cats and just hoping they come and play.
And I just started thinking to myself, this could be the model of the new wave where your team needs to be, you know, 85% of African descent. And you got some cogs to take you some places, man.
I mean, that's what France has kind of been doing with their national squad on the low.
Excellent point. You're right.
If you've seen Spain is trying to do it a little bit with Fati and his brother. Like, they got both of those brothers on the squad. Portugal's doing it. Belgium.
Norway. Switzerland are dibbling and dabbling. They throwing out passports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They just giving out visas. They just giving out visas.
You know what I mean?
I was reading. They said Senegal is locking down the borders. Because they're like, yo, if you're born here after a certain month, we're not even letting you leave. You can't even get citizenship in another country. You're going to have to go AWOL.
Yeah.
We're doing this like Cuba. You're going to, now you can play in other countries, but you're going to play for the national squad.
That's definitely kind of been the long-lasting pipeline. It's like Senegal to
Nigeria. And Nigeria's kind of been falling off a little bit, man, the last maybe 10 or so. They'll make the tournament. But Senegal and Ghana particularly have been in there like, yo, we coming in to try to win this.
But, I mean, I've just never seen a Premier League team with that many of African descent. Because, you know, what that tells you is it's going to be just like the NFL. If most of the players are African, we're going to need some African coaches and some African ownership. You know, so I'm like, that's the next level of this thing.
Isn't an African guy thinking about buying y'all team? Or was it with Arsenal? It was Arsenal, right?
Arsenal. It was Arsenal.
Arsenal. Right. Yeah, they need to get that about the hands of Kroenke, man. I fully support that.
But, I mean, you know, that gives Arsenal every reason to do something similar, man. They get an African owner, and then they say in Crystal Palace, they in London just like Arsenal. It's good enough for Crystal
Palace. And it's a metropolitan city, so you can pull from the people. It's not like you said, you're not in Norwich City or something where you're halfway, most of your town white anyway, and your team is white and reflects it.
It's already a melting pot.
No games with no black folks.
It's much more digestible because it's a melting pot type, you know, global city to begin with. So I think all of that fits, man. I think that's the future. We're going to see that in our lifetime, I'm pretty sure.
That's interesting. I mean, so you think Premier League will do it first, or do you think somebody like France League will try to –
Premier League. I think the Premier League has always been one of the biggest leagues for giving. You know, I would say the French League was huge for giving African players a chance. The Premier League was always willing to roll out the best African talent. You know what I mean? You know, pluck them from wherever they were and put them in the Premier League and, you know, roll them out on the field and let them do their thing. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, what is France's squad is 60% black, right? I'm assuming, right? I mean, they're starting.
At least.
I mean, you got Martial, Kante, Pogba, Mbappe.
And even the defenders.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that's just fine. That's your front five right there.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't got past the front five. I just named strikers and wingers. Griezmann, the only white guy up in the front is Griezmann.
Right, no, you're absolutely right. So that just goes to show you, man. And so I was just happy to see that in the Premier League. Like, that's kind of a big thing, and I hadn't really heard anybody talk about it.
And then I was reading an article mentioning that Portugal's been doing that to Brazil on the low. Like, sniping some of the cats there on the – like, getting them at 5 and 6, from Brazil because it's the connection through the motherland or whatever. But right. Like, hey, you know, let your family want some better schools and stuff. We saw you dribbling over there in the favelas. Yeah. You know, like, come on over and your family. Of course, your family gonna take that shot. You live in Lisbon. You got nice schooling. Like, that's like DSEG program. We was kidding. Like, you know, like, you're not gonna go to Parkway School. You know?
Are you really going to Seoul, dude? Like, damn, I heard
if you don't have to, like, what? Okay.
No, no, you're absolutely right, though. That's absolutely the correct analogy. I agree.
Yeah. So, Jaden Sancho, man, I'm at 20% on this situation, man. Because people have been hitting me up, man. The streets has been on me on Twitter, man. I need to start retweeting some of these people. They hitting me on Instagram. I put up anything. I put up on my Insta story us winning the game. It was like, where Jaden? Like, two people gonna hit me. Where Jaden at, though?
That's crazy, man. You know, I mean. People got to do it, man. I hate to be, you know, I told you so, but I definitely did call
it. It's all good, man. Early. It's all good.
I caught this super early, man. You know, I was reading the cards.
I don't think
it's going to happen for y'all this year. Maybe next year.
No. It's going to be just like Bruno, man. We're going to get him in December, dog. Because that's what's going to, like, we ain't going to be as good. Then they're going to be like, well, we're going to go and get him in December. Then we're going to have to claw away from seventh place. into a Premier League.
I can see that.
They might even go and get Upamecenko too. They might just go and be like, we're gonna spend money, go get Upamecenko and Jaden Sancho, and then not do anything the next summer.
Anything can happen with your front office. I think they're highly unpredictable right now, but I think it's evidence y'all need some pieces. And good luck to you, man. Good luck to you.
All right, last up, I want to talk about the Bundesliga, man, a little bit, man. I mean, people in the Man U circles are like, oh, man, Jaden didn't really play for real in that game against Augsburg, like, you know. And they lost, you know. Well, he wants to come to the squad. Dortmund's holding it up. Because really, they're going to have a fire sale in a minute because you think Haaland going to stay there? They ain't gonna be able to keep him. And Reyna's been balling too. They ain't gonna be able to keep him long either.
You know, those contracts are pretty lengthy, and you know the buyout clauses, man. That's really what gives them that kind of power and that authority, man.
You think a Barcelona ain't? But that's the thing, though, man. You's got to boss up. You think Barcelona, whatever they want, like, cool, write that check. I want Haaland. We're gonna write that check.
They got the resources to do it. Yeah, they do have the resources, but. I think that goes back into our earlier point. That's just even another nail in the coffin of showing that, yes, we're rebuilding. Not retooling, but rebuilding.
You think Real Madrid is not going to pay what needs to be paid for Mbappe next summer?
I think that's the most logical fit for him.
But I'm saying, but you think they're not going to not pay whatever they say? Like, whatever they say, you think they're not going to pay? Like, within reason, you can't be like $300 million. Like, come on, dude. Like,
Mbappe is going to, I think, will cost more than Haaland will for sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. So okay, how much you think Mbappe is going to go for?
Ooh, that's hard. That's
180. 180.
I could. He's young enough where somebody could be talking 200.
You think so? You think so? What is the highest transfer? Ronaldo the highest transfer ever at I think it was like 220, I think, from Real to Juventus.
Yes, I think that is about right. He's definitely up there.
So you think Mbappe could get 200?
I think so. I mean, he's young enough. He's done nothing but score goals for fun. I mean, there's no reason to see him slowing down. What is he like, 23?
22.
Oh, yeah.
You got to remember when he won the World Cup, he was 19.
He's not even in his prime yet, man.
So, okay. So, your boy Neymar is the highest transfer to PSG for $222 million.
Yeah. And he was probably, what, 24 when that happened?
This is in 2017, so.
He's 26 now? 27?
Yeah, he's getting older, though.
Yeah, time flies, man. We don't wait for no
one. Yeah, hold on. Before we get out, I always want to go through these most expensive transfers since we own it. Neymar and Mbappe's second already. He already went for 180, dog.
Oh, wow.
Monaco.
Okay, so yeah, definitely. Yeah.
definitely, no, you're right. No. He may go for 250 now because we already had to pay 180. I had to pay 180. So you think I'm not gonna double up? Maybe you think that he could go for three?
You know, that's what his agent is talking about.
No, I'm not talking about his fee. I'm talking about the transfer fee.
Hard to say, man.
Coutinho went for 145.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
While Phoenix went for 126. Griezmann was 120.
Yep.
Dembele. Oh, we got Dembele's on France too.
Talk about a bust, man. Oh shit, you right. Forgot about
that. The whole front. That's the front seven right there.
Man, that even makes it even more of a crowd than I was originally thinking about. Like, yeah. But just African, you know, dominant.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you, like, you know, athletic, quick, you know what I mean? Skillful, tricky, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Man, so, man, we wrapping up another dope show for everybody. Man, appreciate everybody listening, man. I know y'all, we had fun doing this, man. Like,
yeah,
this,
man.
It's kicking off in full blast. It's not as impact as how the comeback was, because the comeback, it was a game on every night. Like every night, you was losing track. Like if it wasn't for my phone, give me an update. Like, dang, Spurs is playing such and such. Oh snap, let me turn it on. Like you forget. Now it's a little bit more regimented. I know my weekends is good. I can work during the week and everything is good. You know, moving forward or whatnot.
Yeah, man, definitely appreciate all the feedback. You know, Daryl was telling me about the big listenership out in France, so definitely France, keep listening, man, keep commenting, keep the emails coming. We definitely enjoy this, man. It's always a good time talking about the beautiful game, man. So.
Yeah. So anybody else, where can I hit you up at, man, online?
I'm still working on getting my social media together, but for right now, I'm at Phoenix Piff, man. It's only so much time today. September is the craziest time for me, man, on the job, man, so. Yeah, I'll get that together here in October.
Hey, we at it, man. All right, y'all. We will see y'all back next week. Peace.
Peace.